Hey, I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Awakening Podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me today. Our theme this week has been Jesus politics and the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, we preach the kingdom of God. We're not preaching a political system. It's not an outward system that we're preaching, but it's the rule and reign of God. God wants to be ruling and reigning in your life right now. You see, as you submit your heart to Him and you say, God, I'm going to the best of my ability, I'm going to walk in the truth that I know. And I'm going to read your word, I'm going to study your word, and I'm going to pray and give you the opportunity to reveal more truth to me. And I'm going to live and walk in your truth because I have submitted myself to your authority, to your kingship, and to your reign. And as we begin to do that, and as we preach this, and we get more and more people walking in the righteousness of God, and being born again by the Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and living according to the principles of the kingdom, we will see society change. We will see culture change. We won't be setting up a political system. It is something that will be happening from within. As it says in, I believe it is Romans chapter 14. I believe it's verse 17. It says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not something outward. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, my friends, we're not pushing a political system. We are pushing the rule and reign of God and asking people to submit themselves to Jesus, who is God's appointed Messiah and King, who will rule the universe. Hallelujah. And so we have the opportunity to submit to Him now. And you know, when any people, when any community or nation will submit themselves to God's Word and to God's principles, God's rule and reign will come on the scene and God will change things from the inside out. Now, this happened in America. I was talking last week about the Bible in America's founding, and I ended by talking about how the Bible was so powerful in bringing me through the COVID virus. But when I was talking about the Bible in America, I ended with a quote from Andrew Jackson, America's seventh president, who once gestured toward a Bible and declared, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." And all of Western civilization drew its moral principles, its principles of justice, its principles for politics, for civility. It drew its principles from the Bible. The Bible has been the basis for Western civilization. I'm talking about it in America, but it's true of those of you who are in any nations of Western civilization. And those of you in nations, Islamic nations who are listening, oh, we pray that as you preach the kingdom of God, you're going to see God change hearts more and more and more. And God can change your nation from within through the preaching of the gospel. It doesn't have to happen through a military coup or a political coup. It happens by the preaching of the kingdom of God and changing hearts one at a time or sometimes many at a time. So I encourage you, my friends, in Islamic nation and Marxist nations, be faithful to preach the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, that Jesus is God's appointed Messiah and King, and we are calling people to submit themselves and their lives to Him. Now, the Bible had a powerful impact on ending slavery in America. Now, the liberal educational system in America would like us to think, and this is what they insinuate, in colleges and universities, that slavery, students come away with this idea that slavery began with America. No, slavery began with the fall. Slavery is a product of sin and the fall. When our first parents turned away to God and decided to go on their own and declared their independence from God. And at a time when slavery was accepted and practiced in Africa, in Asia, in the Middle East, and in much of the world, there was a movement, a powerful movement against it in colonial America. And It came out of the Great Awakening, and I have this documented, an entire chapter dedicated to this in my book, 1726. If you do not have 1726, you need to get it. You are not educated adequately about America's origin. So I urge you, go to Amazon and look up my book, 1726, The Year That Defined America. And so this abolition movement that came out of the Great Awakening, you see, people were submitting their lives to Christ. The Holy Spirit was changing people's minds. And in meetings in the Great Awakening, cultural and racial barriers were broken down. I mean, George Whitefield, he tells about in his meetings how blacks and whites were worshiping together. This is in like the 1739, 1740, 41, 42. Blacks and whites are worshiping together. And now slavery is already in existence, especially in the southern states. But then these evangelists, they've been taking their evangelistic message and going and pleading with slave owners, let me preach the gospel to your slaves, and preaching the gospel to them and inculcating in them the message of freedom in Jesus Christ. And so this Great Awakening began to break down the cultural barriers. And then there arose this great abolition movement, as through the Spirit and through the Word of God, they began to see what a horrible thing the institution of slavery was. And there was this great movement against it, so much so that every American founder turned against the institution of slavery. For example, one of America's most prominent founding fathers, Benjamin Rush, who was a well-known physician and city leader in Philadelphia, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Benjamin Rush exhorted the pastors and ministers of America to take a bold stand against slavery. And I'm talking about how the Bible had a primary role in the ending of slavery, because this abolition movement was rooted and based in the Bible. And so he exhorted pastors and ministers to take a bold stand against slavery, saying, and this is a direct quote from Benjamin Rush, one of America's founding fathers. He said, "Slavery is a hydra sin that includes in it every violation of the law and the gospel." Wow. It violates the Old and the New Testaments, he's saying. George Washington was an avid reader of the Bible and considered it his ultimate guide for life. Washington's love for the Bible was affirmed by his nephew, Robert Lewis, who served as Washington's secretary and lived with him while he was president. Lewis said that he had accidentally witnessed Washington's private devotions in his library, both morning and evening, and that on those occasions he had seen him in a kneeling posture with a Bible open before him, and that he believed such to have been his daily practice. Wow, reading the Bible on his knees. Now, it was arguments from the Bible that came out of the Great Awakening that turned Washington against slavery and caused him to set up a compassionate program to completely disentangle Mount Vernon from the institution. Now, Washington was born into slavery, and he had inherited a plantation with slaves. That's how he had become involved in it. But now, he turns against it, and it's because of what he sees in the Bible. And he set up a compassionate program to completely disentangle Mount Vernon, his home, his plantation, from the institution. It was the Bible that caused him to say concerning the abolition of slavery, "Not only do I pray for it on the score of human dignity, but I can clearly see that nothing but the rooting out of slavery can perpetuate the existence of our nation by consolidating it in a common bond of principle." It was therefore no mere formality when Washington insisted on taking the first presidential oath of office with his hand on a Bible. It was a declaration on his part that the Bible would be the ultimate source of wisdom and guidance for his administration. It is also reported, it has been reported, that he once said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Wow. Wow. America's founders' respect for the Bible was verified in a 10-year project by two university professors. And their purpose was to discover where America's founders got their ideas for America's founding documents. And they discovered that although America's founders quoted the ancient writers of Greece and Rome and contemporary writers of their day of the Enlightenment, their research project discovered that by far the single most cited authority in their writings was the Bible. Wow. They cited the Bible far more than any other books and works. The Bible was the lens through which they viewed the world. The Bible was the lens through which they interpreted all theories and propositions and writings that they encountered. The well-known Roman Catholic scholar William Novak has said, "Everywhere that reason led, Americans found the Bible. If they read Francis Bacon, they found the Bible. If they read Isaac Newton or John Milton, they found the Bible. In Shakespeare, they found the Bible. In the world of the founders, the Bible was an unavoidable and useful rod of measurement, a stimulus to intellectual innovation." The founders' respect for the Bible was also highlighted by their endorsement of the first English printed Bible in America in 1782. The producer of the Bible, Robert Aiken, had written a letter to Congress in which he asked for that government body's sanction of his work. In the letter, Aiken called this Bible a neat edition of the Scriptures for the use in schools. Congress enthusiastically responded to his request and offered the following recommendation, which was printed in the front of this first English Bible in America. These words: "Resolved, that the United States in Congress assembled highly approve the pious and laudable undertaking of Mr. Aitken as subservient to the interest of religion, as well as an instance of the progress of the arts in this country, and being satisfied from the above report of his care and accuracy in the execution of the work, they recommend this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States." Oh, can you imagine the contrast a few days ago when, during a discussion on the House of Representatives floor, one of the representatives from Florida read some passages from the Bible, and he was rebuked by Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and said, "This is of no interest to this Congress." Wow. But the first English Bible printed in America in 1782 was recommended by the Congress, and it was printed in the front of the Bible. So my friends, what I want to say in closing, this is how we need to pray. What do we need? What can we say to all of this? We need a back to the Bible revival in the American church. Feel good sermons. Positive thinking messages will not meet the need of the hour. There may be a place for those, but they will not meet the need of this hour. Good Christian entertainment will not suffice. A new program will not do. Pastors, preachers, and all ministers must reawaken to the power of the gospel. When in later life Martin Luther was asked how he, an insignificant monk and professor of theology, was able to have such an impact, he replied, listen to this. He said, "I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. The word so weakened the papacy that never a prince or emperor did such damage to it. I did nothing. The word did it all." And let us remember the words of Paul the Apostle to Timothy in his final letter before his martyrdom in Rome, his final letter, 2 Timothy. And in this letter to Timothy, Paul, knowing he would soon depart this life, solemnly exhorted his young protege, saying, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. My friends, I pray that the preachers and the teachers, the pastors and the Christians of America will preach and witness to God's word. Oh, how we need the word of the living God in our personal lives and in our nation today. I'm Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me. Check out my website, www.eddiehyatt.com, and I'll see you tomorrow for another Awakening podcast.